coming up on Sunrise Sports.
Yeah, I was really surprised, I guess, that I was a finalist. It really is an honor to be listed among the athletes that are listed. A lot of them are incredibly talented and have a lot of character and are playing for big programs.
One Saluki softball player has been named a top 10 finalist for a very prestigious award. We take a look at Mallory Duran Sellers and what makes her such a great candidate.
We understand each other, Corey and I, like I know exactly what Corey's going to do, and then Anita and Anna, the same thing, and the twins. I think we understand each other very well.
The Saluki women's tennis team is quietly making noise in the court. We talk to one player leading the way. All of that and much, much more on Sunrise Sports right now.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Sunrise Sports, the show that makes you look forward to the weekend. We're getting down to the end of the school year. That means we start a series of our top five Saluki athletes in the freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior classes. This week, we release our top five Saluki freshmen. I'm Rob Jesselson.
And I'm Daniel Valle. Coming up on Sunrise Sports, we're going to talk about the women's tennis team as Curtis Sheehan has more.
The Saluki women's tennis team is in action this weekend. The Lady Dogs will host two MVC opponents, the first being league-leading Drake University. The Lady Bulldogs are 16-4 overall and 1-0 in MVC play. Southern is sitting in the middle of the standings, and winning this weekend will boost the Lady Salukis closer to the top. And women's head coach Audra Notwer says this is a must-win game against Drake.
They know that we need to beat Drake because, you know, Drake and us, we're all fighting for the top couple spots in the conference. So it's a very important match for us.
If the Salukis have any chance, it will come down to Melanie Delsart. Although Drake has been good all year, Melanie says her team is prepared for the battle between the Dogs this afternoon.
They hit really flat and hard, but I think we've been preparing ourselves for that, and I think we're playing very, very good, so we'll be okay. We'll be fine.
Notwer says she is counting on the home court advantage to give the Salukis the win.
Going to just be a dog fight, but hopefully we have a little bit of an advantage being at home here, and, you know, hopefully a lot of people will come out and support us, and, you know, we'll use the home court advantage to take it home.
Delsart, a junior out of Buenos Aires, Argentina, was recently ranked number 10 in the Central Region by the Intercollegiate Tennis Association. Even with all of her success, Delsart says it's her teammates that make her better.
I was very happy and surprised, actually. But I said before, I think it's just the result of, like, we've been working really hard as a team, and, like, the girls here just make me better.
Coach Notwer says Melanie's success is the result of playing hard each and every match.
She's always been a good player, but she's really bringing the consistency of, you know, to every single match of hers this year, and that's what's different. You know, she's bringing her experience, and she's showing up every match, and she's having good matches every match. And, you know, her first 2 years, she was always that good. It was just the consistency of it wasn't there.
One thing that has made the Lady Dogs so strong this year is the way they compete in doubles play. Delsart is paired with Corey Love, and the duo are 10-3 on the year so far and have won 4 straight matches. Delsart says that the pairings of each doubles team is the reason why the Salukis are so dominant in match play.
Attitude. I think in doubles we go for it. We're really aggressive and we understand each other. Corey and I, like I know exactly what Corey's going to do. And then Anita and Anna, the same thing. And the twins, I think we understand each other very well, and that helps
chemistry
a lot.
Chemistry may be a factor in why doubles have been playing so well, but Coach Notwer says it all comes down to practice.
We've always played doubles well, but I think we're even playing doubles better just in the last 2 weeks. You know, we're getting aggressive and knowing where to move to. We're moving better. We're making better decisions. So we worked a lot on it in the fall. We had a lot of success in the fall, and it's coming back now.
First serve between the Salukis and Bulldogs is set for 1 p.m. at University Courts on the SIU campus. Sunday's match against Northern Iowa begins at 10 a.m. Coming up after the break, we will have the story of softball player Mallory Duran Sellers. You're listening to Sunrise Sports on WSIU 91.9, your NPR station. What doesn't kill
you makes you strong. Good morning, sports fans. This is Saluki track and field coach and U.S. Olympian Connie Price-Smith you're listening to Sunrise Sports on WSIU Radio.
Each year, the NCAA teams up with Lowe's to present its Senior Class Award. The honor is given to an athlete from 10 different Division I sports and is awarded based on celebrating loyalty and staying in school, or simply, class. For each sport, they cut the list of athletes down to 10 finalists. Saluki Mallory Duran Sellers is one of the 10 for softball.
Yeah, I was really surprised, I guess, that I was a finalist. It really is an honor to be listed among the athletes that are listed. A lot of them are incredibly talented and have a lot of character and are playing for big programs within the nation. So it was quite the honor to make the top 10.
Among the 10 finalists, most of them are from big-time athletic universities. Alabama, Florida, Washington, and even Stanford, just to name a few.
Yeah, it's very deserving. You know, I'm so glad that they put her in as a finalist, because she, to me, epitomizes what the description of the award is, and that's why I was really happy to see her, you know, gain that recognition.
That's the voice of Saluki softball coach Carrie Blaylock. She said that she's watched Mallory develop all aspects of her game from the moment she walked on campus up until now, the last remaining weeks of her career.
She came in her freshman year and struggled big time. She may have only hit 120, maybe 110. And after that, you know, about a quarter way through her sophomore year, you know, I just was trying. She had so much expectation on her from home and everybody. And I just told her to, you know, try to relax and have fun at the game. And boy, she turned it around. And since that point, she's just been on fire offensively. Defense was always good.
Senior shortstop Haley Gorman has been a best friend of Duran Sellers since their first year on campus. She said she couldn't think of a better person to receive this prestigious honor.
Mallory's a player who's always brought leadership from the day she stepped on into this program, both on and off the field.
Mallory Duran took on a lot more responsibilities this summer. She got a name change after she married Nick Sellers here in Carbondale. It's the first time a Saluki softball player has ever gotten married during their career on the field.
It's been great. I really enjoy being married. I knew it was going to be a challenge being married and on the team as well. And we knew what we signed up for, but it's gone well so far.
It sure hasn't changed her performance. She still leads the team in many offensive categories and is a key component in the outfield. Even with the added responsibilities, she seems to be doing just fine. If she can earn herself the Senior Class Award, it'll just cap off what has been the best year of her life.
You know, I wish we lived in a bigger community, you know, that or a bigger university that would, you know, because the votes. But I know I'm voting every day, and I know everybody that we've sent stuff out to is also.
And you, too, can vote for Mallory to be the recipient of the Lowe's Senior Class Award. Visit the website at www.seniorclassaward.com/vote. Fans are encouraged to vote once a day. Voting ends on May 14th. For Sunrise Sports, I'm Logan Lee.
It's time to take a look at some of the other Saluki sports in action this weekend. This is our campus tour. The SIU softball team goes back to conference play this weekend as they travel to Springfield, Missouri to take on the Bears in a three-game set. The Salukis come into today in second place in the Missouri Valley Conference standings. They are led by their potent offense as they are in the top five in many of the offensive categories in the MVC. The Salukis are coming off a doubleheader sweep of the St. Louis Billikens this past Tuesday and are looking to ride their current two-game win streak this weekend against the Missouri State Bears. They are also looking for their fifth series win over conference opponents as they are tied for second place in the conference with the Creighton Blue Jays with a 9-3 conference record. First pitch will be this afternoon at 1 p.m. in Game 1 of a doubleheader at Killian Stadium. It may be the spring season, but the Saluki football team hit the gridiron for the second time in full pads Friday morning. It was the second spring scrimmage for head coach Dale Lennon's squad. The Saluki offense was the biggest question mark coming into the second go-around. The offense turned the ball over a total of 7 times in the first contest. Yesterday, the offense was a different story. The team put the ball in the end zone 8 times, most of which came through the air. 4 quarterbacks called plays for the O, and all 4 combined to throw 7 touchdowns. Starting quarterback Corey Faulkner was on his mark. The righty went 13-15 and threw for 2 touchdowns. Receiver Michael Pruitt led the team with 3 touchdown receptions. The defense did come away with 2 interceptions.
Men's tennis heads to Omaha, Nebraska this afternoon and to Des Moines, Iowa on Sunday to take on the Creighton Blue Jays and the Drake Bulldogs, respectively. The Salukis fared well in their previous matchup as they defeated Eastern Illinois 5-1. Creighton swept its last series 7-0 against Nebraska-Omaha, while the 49th-ranked Bulldogs defeated Illinois State 6-1. The first serve will be at Omaha later this afternoon at 1 p.m., while tomorrow's first serve will be at 10 a.m. SIU women's basketball was in the news yesterday as Coach Missy Tiber announced the signing of two new recruits. The first recruit is Rashonda Napier, a 5'5 point guard from Burbank, California, who led Bellarmine Jefferson High School with just over 20 points per game. Tiber says that with all the success Napier has had in high school, she will bring her winning mentality to SIU. The second recruit is Lindsay Moore, a 5'7 point guard from Indianapolis who led Warren Central High School with 16 points per game and a number 6 ranking in the state of Indiana. She was ranked as the 9th best player in the state. Coach Tiber believes Moore is the sleeper pick in Indiana's 2012 class, saying that she was instrumental in building Warren Central into one of the state's best. SIU women's basketball is coming off an abysmal season, finishing 2nd-to-last in the conference with an overall record of 8-22. Saluki Athletics will go around the state of Illinois this May as they talk to their fans during the coach's caravan. Headlined by football coach Dale Lennon and a newly hired men's basketball coach Barry Hinson, the caravan goes to various towns in Illinois to talk to the Saluki faithful. The caravan is slated to make 6 stops between May 1st and May 24th and will feature coaches, athletic trainers, student athletes, and athletic director Mario Mocha. SIU's track and field team traveled to Terre Haute yesterday afternoon to participate in the Indiana State Pace Setter, featuring Indiana State, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and Butler University. The Salukis closed out the first day of a 2-day event with 3 wins: Geneva McCall in the long throw, Malaika Love in the women's long jump, and Doug Palacios in the men's long jump. The men's team leads by 1 point over host Indiana State 62-61, while the women's team is tied with the Lady Sycamores for first place with 60 points apiece. Competition will resume later today at 11 a.m. After dropping the first game 11-8 against Dallas Baptist Thursday night, the Saluki baseball team looked to seek revenge last night in the 2nd game of a 3-game set. SIU sent senior starter Cameron Maldonado in hopes of knotting the series at 1 and ending a 3-game losing streak. SIU gave him a 3-0 lead heading into the bottom of the 2nd, but the Patriots' bats exploded for 8 unanswered runs and survived a late comeback by the Salukis as the Patriots prevailed 12-8. Maldonado suffered his first loss of the season, as the Salukis are now riding a 4-game losing streak. First pitch will be this afternoon at 1 p.m. at Patriots Field, as the Salukis will try to avoid a 3-game sweep at Dallas. And finally, SIU's women's tennis team will host the Drake Bulldogs this afternoon on Fan Appreciation Day. First serve will be at 1 p.m. at the University Tennis Courts. And now Rob Jesselson and myself will present to you the top 5 freshmen of the SIU 2011 and 2012 season. We're just a few weeks away from the ending of another year here at SIU. A lot of memories will come from 2011 and 2012. Some of them aren't as good as others, but still, memories nonetheless. With that being said, it's time for us to begin our top 5 series here on Sunrise Sports, beginning with this year's freshmen.
5.
For our number 5 freshman, we'll head to Shane Auditorium for some Saluki swimming. Hannah Pinion went into the conference championships making a little less noise than one of her fellow freshmen, but she finished out the season better than a lot of her teammates. At the MVC championships, she took 2 event titles in the 200 and 400 intermedleys, as well as 4th place in the backstroke. She was also an all-MVC selection.
4.
At number 4, we go now to Saluki Stadium to catch up with the Saluki football team, in particular with tight end Mycole Pruitt. An injury to starting quarterback Paul McIntosh back in early October meant for the emergence of Corey Faulkner under center for the Salukis. And it didn't take long at all for Faulkner to find his favorite target in a redshirt freshman. In the first 3 games combined, Pruitt only caught the ball 4 times for a total of 64 yards. The remainder of the season, though, was a whole different story. Pruitt averaged 5 catches for 82 yards per game the remainder of the season. Against Youngstown State, the St. Louis native had 8 catches for 124 yards. He finished the season 8th in the conference in receptions per game and was named to the All-MVFC newcomer team.
3.
For the number 3 freshman Saluki, we head back to the pool for another Saluki swimmer. Pamela Benitez became a familiar name to WSIU sports listeners back in February when she was a frequent recipient of the Valley's Female Swimmer of the Week honor. She won every event she competed in, except for one, leading up to the conference championships. The El Salvador native later went on to collect a handful of medals at the MVCs, including a second-place finish in the 500 freestyle and a pair of third-place titles as well. She was named first-team All-MVC.
2.
Though he may not be with the Salukis next season, our number 2 freshman for the year didn't disappoint in Carbondale. Dantiel Daniels joined the Saluki men's basketball team this season and became an immediate impact on the court. Daniels was one of few consistent pieces to the squad, playing in all but 3 of their games and starting in all but 3 of those. The St. Louis native made his presence known early on, especially on the boards. He finished his freshman season as the team's third leading scorer at just over 8 points per game. He averaged just under 5 rebounds a match, and his 1.6 blocks per game was first in the Valley. His play on the court earned him a spot in the MVC All-Freshman team. If Daniels chooses to stay at SIU and play for new coach Barry Hinson, he could have a bright future in the maroon and white.
1.
Our number 1 freshman for the 2011-2012 year is Cartasia Macklin of the women's basketball team. In the midst of another depressing basketball season in Carbondale, there weren't many bright spots to mention. Macklin was one of the few. The freshman from Mayo, Florida, highlighted another prestigious recruiting class for Missy Tiber. Though she didn't start the first 2 games of the season, Macklin still played more minutes than most of the starters. And once she did crack the starting lineup, she didn't disappoint. In the 4th game of the season, Macklin held a coming-out party, leading the Salukis in scoring 20 points in what was just their second win of the season. She led the team in scoring 17 times, including a stretch where she was the high scorer of 8 of 11 straight games. Her season high came in a win over IUPUI in December, where she dropped 27 points. Macklin scored 495 points this season. That's the 6th most in program history for a single year, and the highest among freshmen. She's finished the season with 16.6 points per game, putting her 2nd in the conference, while her 3.6 assists per game ranked her 5th in the Valley. She was also a key rebounder at nearly 6 boards per game, which was 12th in the MVC. All of those numbers earned her the MVC's Freshman of the Year honor. Macklin is sure to be a key component to the Salukis women's basketball team for seasons to come.
There you have it, folks, the Sunrise Sports Top 5 Saluki freshmen of the 2011 and 2012 school year. We had a few freshmen that were in contention for the list, but couldn't crack the top 5. Alexis Patterson of the women's basketball team was an all-freshman selection for Missy Tiber's group. Also pitcher Alyssa Wunderlich and outfielder Meredith Wilson of the Saluki softball team were part of our honorable mention selections. Be sure to listen next Saturday when we continue on with our top 5 series with the Saluki sophomores. There's more Saluki sports on the way. You're listening to WSIU Radio, your NPR station.
Hi, this is Steve Finley, former Saluki, former Major League Baseball player, 5-time Gold Glove winner, 2-time All-Star, World Series champion 01, and you're listening to Sunrise Sports on WSIU Radio.
Yesterday was the Cardinals' home opener against the Chicago Cubs. For St. Louis Public Radio's Veronique LaCapra, baseball season means it's time to talk about the science behind America's national pastime. And Washington University aerospace engineer David Peters was happy to join in.
I'm a baseball fan from day one. I was at Stan Musial's last game here in St. Louis. Turns out I was in Cincinnati and happened to go to the game when Pete Rose broke Ty Cobb's record. I was at the game where Roger Maris's home run record was broken by Mark McGwire. I've just been a baseball fan, always have been.
I can imagine there's a lot of physics involved in pitching. Can you talk about some of the main types of pitches, the curveball, the physics behind them?
Yeah, the basic principle is called the Bernoulli principle. And the Bernoulli principle says that when air speeds up, its pressure goes down. And when air slows down, its pressure goes up. So the top of the ball is spinning towards the batter. The bottom of the ball is spinning away from the batter. So the top spinning towards the batter slows down the air on the top of the ball. And since the air slows down, the pressure goes up. The bottom of the ball, it's spinning away from the batter, actually speeds the air up. So it's high pressure on the top, low pressure on the bottom. It pushes the ball down. ball falls much faster than just gravity would make it. And they call it a 12 to 6 curveball because it goes from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock on the clock down. You can't believe it. It's like it's unmerciful. And almost every pitch, fastball, curveball, knuckleball, they move because of air pressure. And they move because of Bernoulli's principle and the different ways the pitcher makes them spin.
And so what about the guy who's on the receiving end of those 80-mile-an-hour pitches? How do you even focus on a ball that's coming at you that fast, let alone control where it's going to go or hit it out of the park?
This is one of the incredible coincidences about baseball, or Abner Doubleday knew what he was doing or something. It's 60 feet 6 inches from home plate to the pitcher's mound, although the pitcher's leaning forward, so he's maybe 55 feet away, you know, when the ball comes. Ball going at 90 miles an hour is about 130 feet a second. That takes about a half a second to get to the plate. The human reaction time is a half a second. If the pitcher's mound were 45 feet from home plate, nobody would ever get a hit. Every game would be a no-hitter.
Really?
That's right. So this is the beauty of it, but it's right on the verge. So you have to have very good reflexes. You have to think. You have to have good eyes. A good batter can actually see the stitching on the ball and see it spinning and can tell which way it's spinning, whether it's going to be a curveball.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you at all. Still, it's barely time to make that decision. And it's amazing you can do it. People have said it's the most difficult thing in sports, hitting this little round ball with a round bat and making it go exactly where you want it to, but you can.
So I have to ask, do ball players really think about all this science when they're out on the field, or do they just do it without really understanding it?
For a long time, players just did it. But Ted Williams was probably the greatest hitter of all time. He thought hitting was a science, and he wrote a book on the science of hitting, and he actually analyzed it. And he learned several things in his studies. First, he learned that bat speed was the most important thing. Up until then, people used these huge, heavy bats like clubs. You know, Babe Ruth had a bat that was 42 ounces or something, you know. And you can't argue with Babe Ruth, but Ted Williams decided that weight's important, but speed was better. And so the bats have gotten lighter. And Ted Williams worked out these angles and where you should, like, move your elbow in or move your elbow out, how to get the best angle of the bat on the ball. And he set out his goal to become the best hitter of all time, and he really did. So
science matters even in baseball.
Science matters. Science is everywhere.
That was Washington University aerospace engineer David Peters speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Veronique LaCapra. Find out more about the science of baseball, like the physics of sliding, and why left-handed hitters have an advantage at bat. That's all on their website, stlpublicradio.org.
It's that time once again where we shift gears and move the attention to all things involving John A. Logan College athletics. We call it the Volunteer Minute, and here we go. The John A. Logan College softball team dropped their last two games in a doubleheader Thursday against Wabash Valley. Dakota Canope was the starting pitcher in Game 1, allowing 3 runs on 7 hits while staying on the mound for all 7 innings. Kayla Katermas narrowly missed a home run that would have tied the game in the fourth. That ball ended up bouncing off the foul pole. In Game 2, freshman Sarah DeRosa took the loss. She lasted only 4 innings, giving up 5 runs, 3 of them earned, along with 7 hits. Sarah Malinowski relieved DeRosa of her duties and gave up 6 runs on 8 hits and 3 walks. The Lady Vols play a makeup doubleheader at Rend Lake Monday and then travel to Centralia Tuesday to take on the College of Kaskaskia. All-American golfer Bryce Doughty has decided to continue his golfing career after he leaves Logan in the spring. The Benton native has chosen to hit the links for Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. Doughty will major in education with a specialization in mathematics. He said he would like to one day be a coach. Finally, sophomore first baseman Josh Meade knocked a solo home run and an RBI triple to lead the Logan baseball team to a come-from-behind 3-2 win over SWIC, that's Southwestern Illinois College, in a split doubleheader on Thursday. The split drops the Vols' Great Rivers Athletic Conference record to 20-5. The Volunteers, who are ranked 16th in the nation overall, are now 29-12 on the season. SWIC is now 25-21 overall. The two teams will play again today, beginning at noon in Belleville. Bringing you this Volunteer Minute, I'm Michael Roberts for Sunrise Sports.
take out those dancing shoes, because that swing music means it's time for our quote of the week. Grabbing 30 rebounds in a single game is a huge accomplishment for an NBA player, and on Wednesday night, Los Angeles Lakers center Andrew Bynum did just that. On April the 11th, Bynum was able to reach for 30 rebounds over the Western Conference second-place San Antonio Spurs, and with Kobe Bryant sitting out of the lineup, the Lakers needed their young center to step up, which he did. There have been only four Lakers before him to grab 30 boards in one game: George Mikan, Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And it was the first time since 1978 that a Laker had done it, so Bynum had to be pleased with his rebounding effort. Or maybe not. Listen to what he told the post-game announcer after reaching this historic achievement.
Andrew Bynum, these are the names that have grabbed 30 rebounds in Lakers history: George Mikan, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Elgin Baylor. You just joined him. How did you do it? How do you feel?
Well, I shot the ball like man. It's bothering me.
Yes, besides rebounding, Andrew Bynum did not have that great of an offensive day. He shot 7 of 20 from the field, but still scored up 16 points. And just think how many more rebounds Andrew could have picked up if Kobe Bryant had been playing. And that was our quote of the week.
It's time for us to dig a little deeper into the sports world and bring you something a little bit out of the ordinary. Something that would bring legendary sportscaster Mel Allen to say,
"How about that?"
Well, a feat that hadn't been accomplished in close to 50 years occurred in a Kansas City Royals and Oakland Athletics game earlier this week. The two American League opponents needed extra innings to declare a winner in Wednesday's game. In the bottom of the 12th inning, with the game tied at 4, Royals closer Jonathan Broxton loaded the bases when he hit A's rookie Yunis Cespedes with the pitch. Broxton then proceeded to plunk the next batter, Johnny Gomes, to force in the game-winning run. It marked the first time in 46 years that a game ended by two hit-by pitches. Truly a painful walk-off win. Mel, any thoughts?
How about that?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's about time we start shutting things down here this morning. But before we do that, we have some people we need to thank.
That's right, Rob. We need to thank Logan Lee, Curtis Sheehan, Sam Vaughn, Brad Palmer, Jennifer Fuller, Jeff Williams, and the entire WSIU radio staff.
Right you are, Daniel. This show would not be possible without any of them. As always, if you have any questions, please feel free to send us an email at sunrisesports@wsiu.org. You can also check out our Facebook and Twitter pages. You can also hear this edition and all of our other shows on our new website, news.wsiu.org. Go to Programs and then Sunrise Sports. And make sure to tune in next week when we unveil our top 5 Saluki sophomores. So for Logan, Curtis, Sam, my co-host Daniel Valle, I'm Rob Jesselson saying enjoy your weekend
and enjoy the games.